Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Yes, when you hear that music, it can only mean one man. Well, maybe Lionel Richie, but Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver, on the line with us. Chris, what's up?
Man, I'm doing pretty good, man, getting ready for this storm. Me and my wife are about to go grocery shopping, and that's an adventure in itself, so I'm getting ready to go do that.
Yeah, look, I haven't been yet for this round, but I know for the last round, I was having to throw some elbows, you know. Felt like I was posting up.
I almost got in a fight with an old lady who had a mustache. She tried to take the last Captain Crunch, so I was upset. I'm like, hey, I almost had to throw a haymaker because she took the last Captain Crunch, man. Come on.
Yeah, hey, I don't have a mustache. I have a beard, so stop that. Right there.
How y'all doing, man? Y'all doing well?
We are doing fantastic. Good. Monitoring this coaching search. And I heard you and Jared yesterday, and we've had the discussion on this show. Mike Vrabel was a defensive-minded coach, and so now I think that the general thought is, well, the Titans need to hire offense because you want to bring in somebody to develop Will Levis. Do you subscribe to that, or do you feel like if they were to bring in a Dan Quinn or somebody with more of a defensive background, that then it's on him to bring in somebody to run the offense that can develop Levis?
Absolutely. Let me give you a perfect example. You know, Jeff Fisher played for the Chicago Bears in the early 80s, whatever. But then, you know, he's a defensive-minded guy. He knows his X and O's about defense. Great, great scheme guy. But what he did, even though he was a head coach and a defensive-minded guy, he hired the best offensive coordinators. My second or third year, you know, Les Steckel, you know, he coached with the Giants and he coached a lot of different teams, Broncos, and he was an offensive-minded offensive coordinator. So I think sometimes we don't want to get caught up in, okay, we're bringing a defensive-minded guy that he's going to call the plays. It's kind of like going back to like Florida State. Bobby Bowden said this. He said, I'm the head coach. My job is to hire great coaches underneath me to make the call. If it's offense, defense, whatever it is, my job is to hire the best coaches to do their job. So I don't want us to get caught up in, you know, like, okay, if I got a defensive-minded guy, then he's going to call the plays. That's not the case. And there's some situations to where you have an offensive-minded coach that becomes a head coach but also calls the plays, like Andy Reid with the Kansas City Chiefs. So let's just kind of pump our brakes a little bit that if we do get a defensive-minded guy, that doesn't mean he's going to call the plays.
And then also, if you're in the interview room, if you're Rand Carthon or Amy Adams-Strunk or whoever, I mean, how much are you focusing on, and you want it to be about the whole team, but you got to focus on the quarterback and Will Levis. And what is your plan for Will Levis? Correct.
That's a great point that you make. And the one guy that I really, really love is Bobby Slalik from, you know, the Texans. He's an offensive coordinator. Yeah. The reason why I really love him, and I know a lot of people love Antonio Pierce or Aaron Glenn. They're some great coaches. But the reason why I love Bobby is because he develops quarterback. Look at what he's doing with C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is the fifth player all times coming in as a rookie to throw for 4,000 yards. So what is he telling you? He took a rookie from the Ohio State University that had a lot of talent but developed in him into basically like a veteran. So now you got a situation with Will Levis that has a lot of talent, you know, a lot of spunk, a lot of tenacity, a lot of, you know, just that it factor. Now you bring Bobby in to develop him to be a big-time quarterback. That's why I really love Bobby Slowly.
We're talking to Chris Sanders this morning. Chris, let me ask you this. After your senior at Ohio State, did you go to the Senior Bowl, any bowls?
Workouts? I went to the Senior Bowl. It was fun. That's what made my stock grow up. The Senior Bowl was really, really fun. And just the whole process of it, you meet with each team and, you know, you practice and just you meet with ages. It was a crazy situation, but it was really, really fun.
Tell me how your stock went up in the Senior Bowl.
You know, because, you know what, I didn't really have the numbers. You know, on the other side of me was Joey Galloway. Joey Galloway had all the accolades and everything, so I was basically an unknown. I was known as a guy that was fast, that can jump, and catch the football, or they tried to label me as a track guy playing football. So now when I get into the Senior Bowl, you have all the head coaches, you have all the general managers that are looking at practice, looking at one-on-one, and when they saw me run routes, when they saw me catch the ball, when they saw the it factor, then now it started to open his eyes. And I remember one of the broadcasters, what is his name? I forgot his name. He said this. He said one of the guys that stood out in the Senior Bowl was Chris Sanders, and that's why my stock went up, because I had to prove that I wasn't just a track guy. I was a guy who run routes. I was a guy who specialized in technique, and that's what made my stock go up.
And that's what I was telling Chase earlier. I remember the great story of Michael Strahan in the 92 Senior Bowl. He came from a small school in Texas. Yeah, he dominated there, but how is he against top-level competition? Yep. And he just destroyed people. Yep. So you can see, and I guess you're the prime example of getting that opportunity to show what you can do against that high-level competition.
Absolutely. And some of the guys that I was going against, you can know the difference between Big Ten and SEC. When I went to get some guys from Auburn in Alabama, I was like, man, these dudes are fast, big, and strong. And I wasn't really a strong guy. I weighed like 176 coming out of college. But the one thing that I had is I can run and I can jump. So if I can beat these guys that are supposed to get drafted in the first and second round, the eyes start to open up, you know, for the coordinators and the head coach. Say, man, this guy can play. And the cool thing about it is the quarterback at the time was, I think it was Collins. He was my quarterback. And he really didn't know me, whatever. And as we're doing one-on-ones, as we're doing 7-on-7, he started to see that I'm one of the best receivers that's here. So me and him built a camaraderie to where he was feeding the ball. We're talking, we're talking about routes and everything. And the coordinator started to see that, man, Collins and Chris are something special. And that's why my stock basically went up.
Sorry, Jason, one more question. Chris, would you have loved to have played in the run and shoot with Warren Moon?
What you said? Heck yeah. Hold on. You almost made me go get my cleats and run some routes. I mean, because here's the deal. Just the opportunity to play with Warren Moon is amazing. I mean, I watched them on TV. I watched them growing up, and to actually play with them, absolutely. Just imagine, you know, when I played with the Tennessee Titans, same team, I would get one or two attempts a game. Just imagine getting 12 and 13 attempts. I'll be in the Hall of Fame not once but twice.
Yeah, you're right. You know who it's underrated. You know who the best run and shoot quarterback is of all time?
Who?
Dave Craig.
He looks awful in his uniform. when I tell you I looked at some old film the other day. It's the worst. He's got his helmet, his shoulder pads are too big. He's got never mind. Let's go ahead, man. This is awesome.
I think we're going to have to install a bell for every time Dave Craig's name comes up.
I love it.
During these interviews.
Weird mustache. It was weird. It was just kind of like a different version of Jeff Fisher. Just a little different.
Chris Sanders, Forever Titans wide receiver, is with us here on the program. Derrick Henry went on the Bussin' with the Boys podcast with Taylor Lewan and Will Compton. And I thought it was really telling, you know, some of the things he talked about, and, you know, basically said the door's not closed for him coming back here, but he feels like the Titans are going to move on from him and go in a different direction. If that's the case, what do you think the market will be for Derek? And I look at a team like the Dallas Cowboys or the Baltimore Ravens that I think would be interested in his services. Ooh. It's just for how much?
You know, and that's a great observation, Chase. And the thing about it is the market might not be really, really high, but it only takes one team. And I think that the teams that your name will be a great fit for Derrick Henry. And also, you know, if the Buffalo Bills don't win the Super Bowl, you don't think that they would want Derrick Henry to come in there because, you know, they got some they got Cook, they got him, they got some receivers, they got a defense, they got guys that are coming back. So, you know, even though the market might not be really, really high, but it only takes one to three teams to really bring him in. And it's funny that, you know, you were talking about Bussin' with the Boys. You're right. What he said was very, very telling because he said this. He said the Titans are going to do what's best for the Titans. So basically on the flip side of that, he's going to say the same thing. I have to do what's best for Derrick Henry. If you watch his body language, if you watch the demeanor when Taylor DeJuan asked him those questions, he doesn't want to be here because I think he wants a fresh start.
Yeah, and look, if he gets a fresh start, we'll all pull for him.
Absolutely. Classy guy.
I want to see the Titans do well, but I want to see Derek do well, too. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
It's like when, you know, I went through it for the first time, I guess, when Eddie left and Eddie goes to Dallas. And having grown up a Cowboys fan, you know, it was like, okay, great. I still got Eddie. Didn't work out. But
and it's kind of like when Emmitt Smith went to the Arizona Cardinals. It didn't look right.
That was gross.
He looked gross in his uniform. It kind of looked like a different version of Dave Craig. I mean, it just didn't look right.
I will tell you that the worst-looking guy at the end of his career in a uniform was Tony Dorsett with the Broncos. Looked weird, man.
No. Jerry Rice with the Seattle Seahawks.
But he went to Seattle, Raiders. Went to the Raiders. Yeah, he bounced around for a while.
It didn't look right. He looked like Art Monk in his uniform. It didn't look right.
But he still contributed when he did that. It just when other guys go and do their thing, they don't look.
Well, didn't Namath go to the Rams?
Namath went to the OJ went to the Niners. I mean, they look weird. And so
when I went to the Cleveland Browns for a second, it didn't look right in my uniform. If you look at some old cars, I went to the Cleveland Browns for Till Kevin until they cut me, and I'm glad they did. But I look gross. I mean,
were you with Kelly? Was Kelly Holcomb there?
No. Oh, yeah. That's how I make. Kelly Holcomb was there. He was behind. What's the dude that went out of Kentucky?
Tim Couch.
Yep. That's how.
So
it's Kelly's fault.
Kelly got you caught.
It's all
right?
Kelly. Kelly. Me and Kelly. He called me dog face when I first met him.
Hey, let me ask you. When the Browns cut you, were they like, "Hey, Chris, you got a second? I mean, did you know? What?
Hey, I knew I was out of there, but, you know, they come up to you all softly, like, hey, Chris, can I talk to you? I'm like, okay, yeah. You know, the coach is, you know, he's going to give you another direction. I'm like, okay, and that's all it is. It was right since I was like, man, you could have texted me that and just left. Just send me a smoke screen or something. You could have texted me that or wrote me a letter. You know, back in high school when they give you a letter, you open it up.
Yeah.
They could have did that to me.
Was that Butch Davis?
That was Butch Davis. Oh, when I say it was awful down there, it was like a boot camp, man. I said, I'm glad because I wasn't physically able to really do anything. But man, it was a boot camp down there. I mean, we were hitting every day. We were hitting safeties. You got Dennis Norcutt to weigh like 130 trying to hit safeties coming down in the core. It was awful, awful.
So is that when you ended up coming back here?
I came back here. Yeah, I came back like the eighth game, and I just wasn't. It wasn't healthy, and that's why I respect Floyd Reese, and I love him to this day. He didn't have to bring me back, but he let me retire as a Titan and let me just sit on the bench for 8 games.
Yeah, I remember that.
Well, Chris, I miss that dude.
Yeah, we miss him every day, that is for sure.
Yeah.
We appreciate you doing this.
Hey, appreciate you, man, anytime.
We'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Love you, brothers. Bye-bye.
You too.
See
Chris
ya,
Sanders,
Chris.
Forever Titans wide receiver, joining us here on the program. Coming up next, we'll get to celebrity birthdays and what day is it? We'll do that as well. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.